We're also delighted to have our brother, Mr. Jim Purdy. Jim is from South Armagh. He's an elder in our Tullyvellan congregation. And the Lord has saved him, and he has a story to tell of how the Lord brought him to know him as his Saviour. Jim and I go back a long way. He lived on one side of the border, and I lived on the other. And our times go back to our very earliest days, and we have known each other a long time. We do welcome him tonight, as he's going to give a word of testimony and tell us what the Lord has done in his life. We're also glad to have his wife Lillian, and we give her a very warm welcome to Lurgan also. So I'm going to ask Jim if he'll please come and tell us what it is the Lord has laid upon his heart.
I'm very glad to be here tonight in this church in Lurgan to give a word of testimony. I'd like to thank Mr. Crane for those kind words of welcome. We're glad to be here and to have a word of, to be able to give a word of testimony and to tell of what the Lord Jesus Christ has did for my soul in redeeming my life from destruction. I was a filthy, vile sinner, but thank God I was saved by the grace of God. Mercy there was great, and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me, that there my sin-sick soul found liberty at Calvary. And we do rejoice and praise God for Calvary and for the finished work of the cross. There's a word, there's a verse of Scripture. We have it in the second book of Timothy, chapter 3, in the verse 15, and it says that, "From a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ." We have another verse in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 3 where it says that my spirit shall not always strive with man. And I believe that these verses were instrumental in bringing me to the Lord Jesus Christ. From my earliest days, I never can remember a time that I didn't know that I needed to be saved. I always knew that I was a vile, filthy sinner. And in those days, when I would think of how sinful and how vile I was, I felt totally ashamed of my sin. Something that I never would mention to anyone. I kept it to myself, and I was truly ashamed. I felt so filthy. I felt so vile. I felt so wicked. But God was gracious and merciful to me. And it's wonderful. I do not understand why that from my earliest childhood I always knew that I was a sinner. And that except a man be born again, he shall not see the kingdom of God. And I knew that I was on the broad road that was leading to destruction. I can recall that it would have been 6 years. I would have been 6 years old before I ever was in Sunday school, because way back in those days there was no cars, and our family went to a Presbyterian church across the border in County Monaghan. And I would have been 6 years of age before I ever was at Sunday school. And I went to a school, to the primary school in Dartley. And my school days were most unhappy. But as I grew up, I always had an interest in the things of God. And the Faith Mission Pilgrims would come round the area, Christian Workers Union, the IEB, and the Brethren. And we would have been encouraged to go along to these meetings. The father and mother at that particular time wouldn't have been saved. But it was at one of these meetings my father and mother got saved, and we used to go to these meetings, and I heard the gospel and heard words of testimony and heard the singing of the gospel, and I truly enjoyed the meetings, but I wasn't saved. And in those days I used to wonder, the devil would come and he would say to me, "Sure, you're too sinful. Sure, you couldn't be saved." Do you know, I believe the devil. The devil's a liar, and he's also a deceiver, and he's also an accuser. And this is what the devil would say to me, "Sure, how could you be saved? Sure, you couldn't keep it." And I believe that. But the years rolled on, and I sought after the things of this world, like every other young man and woman. I sought after the things of this world. But we're not here tonight to bring any glory to the flesh, or in any way to talk about those things, other than to say that I can say with a hypocrite, "I tried the broken cisterns, Lord, but ah, the waters failed. Even as I stooped to drink, they mocked me, and I wailed." There was a mission that came to the town of Newton Hamilton in the year 1962. And I was invited along to that mission. My wife, which at that time I was friendly with, and she invited me along to that meeting, or to those meetings. A mission conducted by Noel Grant and Matt Bowen. Both men are departed, have gone to their rewards. And it was at that mission that I once again heard the gospel message proclaimed. And at that particular time, the Holy Spirit was working on my heart and was wailing me away from the things of the world. You know, I had enough, a great desire for the things of the world, the drink and the cigarette, and I was obsessed by these things. But you know, before I was saved, the Lord, I believe, was dealing with me, and he was wailing me away from the things of the world and was implanting in my heart that desire to get right with God. I remember going to that mission, and I remember being there on a Friday night, and I can't recall what the preacher spoke on, but all I do know is that at the end of the meeting, an appeal was made, and I remember that night getting up out of my seat to go out, but I couldn't go out. So I made my way into the little room, inquiry room at the back of the hall, and there was a lady come in, and the evangelist said to me, did I mind if he spoke with the lady first? And I said, "No, just speak to the lady and I'll wait here." And I sat on a chair, and I realised then that I was at the crossroads of my life. I knew that I was in a position where I had to make a decision. And there and then, I knew the devil was there in all his fury, but the Lord also was there, praise his name. And that night, as I thought upon these things, sitting on the chair, the old devil came to me, and he says, just as if someone was behind my back, and he says, "Jim, don't make a fool of yourself. Don't make a fool of yourself." That's what the devil said so plainly. And I remember just at that particular moment, I looked up and I says, "Lord, I trust thee." And thank God that very moment I was gloriously saved. You know, the hymn writer put it well when he says, "There's life for a look at the crucified one. There's life at this moment for thee. There looks for a look unto him and be saved, unto him who died on the tree." And thank God that very moment I looked to Christ, and praise God, I was saved. I acknowledged my sins, and I confessed my sins, and I repented of my sins, and I pleaded the precious cleansing power of the blood indeed to be applied to my heart. And I went out of that meeting that night a sinner saved by grace, a new creature in Christ Jesus. I remember going down to the door to go out onto the road, and this man said to me, he shook me by the hand and said, "Young man," he said, "you have made a decision tonight that you'll never regret." And that was on the 2nd of February 1962. And in three days' time, that would be 49 years ago. And the Lord has kept me by his mighty power since that day, even to this very moment in time. The Lord has preserved me and kept me by his mighty power. And I'll say to God be the glory, great things he has done. I came home that night, and I told my father and brother that I'd got saved. And I remember going to my working clothes and taking out the cigarettes that I had in the clothes and bringing them and putting them into the fire and burning them. And I believe that the Lord that night, when I'd done that, I believe that the Lord burned the desire out of my heart for the cigarettes. And I never had any desire for them after that. And I can tell you that was a miracle in itself, because I was addicted to them, and I thought that, well, I just couldn't give them up. But that's how I give them up. I burned them and I left them behind me. Praise the Lord. Then I was working on the farm at that particular time, but then a few years after that, I started to work at Tassa Creamery with the milk marketing board. And I was there for a number of years, and then I got an offer of a job, you know, doing milk collection around the farms. And I was relief driver. There was 8 routes, and I was relief driver on those different routes, doing holiday times and breaks and illnesses. If any driver was off ill, that I could take over and do the job. But I must say that whenever I was saved in the year 1962, on the 2nd of February, I was then 19 years of age, and the Lord has kept me these past 49 years to this very moment in time. And the Lord gave me great grace and strength to witness for him, even in the community and district. And I had opportunities in open areas to testify and to tell of the good things the Lord Jesus Christ had did for me. And then I went into employment with the milk marketing board, and I was doing farm collections around South Armagh at that particular time. And this was on a Saturday afternoon up around Crossman Glen. I was lifting milk around the farms, and out at a place called Loch Ross on the Castleblaney side of Crossman Glen, I was stopped just by 4 armed and masked men crossed the road like a flash, and I was called upon to halt. And I could do nothing else, only halt, and a half a load of milk on and coming up a hill. And I just said, "Lord, undertake for me." That was the prayer I made. "Lord, undertake for me." And the Lord did take control of the situation. I was ordered out of the lorry at gunpoint and taken into an old derelict yard. And I was there asked who I was and all the rest. And then after some time, I was taken in a car. There was a car come into the yard, and I was put into this car, and I was blindfolded and taken away. I didn't know where I was going or what was going on, but I knew there was 2 boys in the front and 2 boys in the back, and I was in between the front seat and the back seat there on my hands and knees. But I was taken up into an old yard. I know it was a yard, maybe some farmyard, and it was seemed to be a fairly tight place, because I had to do a lot of manoeuvring to get reversed and to get torn. And I was taken out of the car and taken into an old dark black house. I was there kept for a while, and then I was taken out of that house and over hedges or over fences. I couldn't see where I was going, but they were leading me, and I was tripping and all what you would do, crossing hedges or crossing ditches blindfolded. And I was taken into a wooden house, and there seemed to be a lot of light in this place. And I was interrogated in that house for 3 years. I was accused of being a spy for the security forces, which I was not. I was accused of being a hater of Roman Catholics, which I was not. And setting up Roman Catholics for assassination and all, which I was not. I was there just doing my work and minding my own business. But after some time, it was this particular character come into the place. He wasn't there at the start, but he came in afterwards, and he started to interrogate me. He was a very evil man. Even with being blindfolded, I could sense and know that he was sold out to the devil and to the powers of darkness. There was no problem knowing that. He was very evil, very wicked, and his language was filthy. And he started to interrogate me, and he was good at his job. But he said to me, "What pub do you frequent? What hotel do you go to?" And I says to him, "I go to none of those places. I don't go to pubs, nor clubs, nor hotels. I go to prayer meetings. I was saved." And he said, "What do you mean?" I says, "I'm saved." And I had the opportunity of giving them the gospel, or giving them by the word of testimony. And I remember at the end of the testimony, this fellow says, "Oh, I suppose you're converted to Paisley." Well, I said, "No, I was converted to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not my man, but by looking to the Lord Jesus Christ, it's the Lord and Him alone that saves you." But those men in that place were very religious men. I knew that they were. They went to the chapel and they talked a lot about the Pope, and asked me what did I think of the Pope. And I told them that I could not accept the Pope, because what the Scriptures say, the Pope was the Antichrist, and that I couldn't accept any of his teachings. But this went on for some time, and he says to me, he says, we'll prove you, he says. He said it in a very mocking manner, "We'll prove you." And he said to me, "Count to three," he says, and he says, "I'll blow your brains out." Well, I did count to three, because I felt that if I didn't count to three, that I would be letting my Lord down. And I did count to three. The Lord gave me the grace, and I did count to three. And he actually put a gun in my ear, and he went hysterical after that. After that, I counted to three. He felt that I had taken the bat from under his feet, and he felt a bit taken back that I had accepted in that way. But the Lord gave me the grace that day to testify and to stand up for Him and not to be ashamed of the Lord. We read a few verses, just I would like to leave them with you, and we have them in the Acts of the Apostles. A few verses that I had the very first day that I went up into that area. That was a hostile area, and the Lord gave me a few verses. This would have been the Bible reading for that particular day, and it says in chapter 18 and in verse 9 and 10, it says, "Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision, 'Be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace, for I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city.'" But I thought it says there, be not afraid. And it says, "For I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee." I was verbally abused and tortured, but they never laid a hand on me in any way to abuse me, physically. But mentally, they tortured me, and they put me through a time of great testing. But thankfully, the Lord gave me the grace that day to stand for Him. And after that ordeal was over, then I was taken out, and I was taken onto a road and left on the road and told to stay there for so long. And I was blindfolded, and I was told to lie down on the ditch and to stay there for at least 15 minutes, not to report this. Well, I lay there a wee while, and then after a wee while, I got it hard to do that. I felt fearful to get up and to take the cover off my head. And I did it. And it was a beautiful day. I looked around, didn't know where I was. And I remember getting down on my knees and thanking Almighty God for His hand that had been upon me and for His help, even in the situation. And the peace of God flooded my soul. And I went up that road, a narrow road, and this fella come down the road in the car, and he said to me, "Stop." He said, What happened to you? What's wrong?" So I told him that I was kidnapped, and these boys somebody let me out. And he says, "Where's the lorry?" So I told him where the lorry was, and he says, I was about 3 miles from the lorry, and he says to me, "Get in there," he says, "I'll bring you back to the lorry." And he brought me back to the lorry, and I got into the lorry, and I started the lorry up and got the vacuum pump going, and then I started to lift the milk from there on back into Tassa. I was very late getting back into the creamery, but the Lord undertook for me, and that in and through that I proved the Lord indeed to be a friend that sticketh closer than any brother, and I proved the Lord indeed in that situation that salvation is truly genuine. To God be the glory. And I must say also that after I was saved, I remember going along to the prayer meeting, and I have continued going to the prayer meeting from that till now, 49 years, for going to prayer meetings and seeking the face of the Lord. And the Lord gave me a great promise in Jeremiah 33 and verse 3. It says, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not of." And I believe that the Lord indeed has something great for us even in the days that lie ahead. My life was preserved at that particular time, and I also had a heart bypass, and my life was preserved in that. The Lord took me through that, and I believe that the Lord has kept me even to this moment in time, and I believe that God even yet is going to do something great even in our land, because we're living in a dark time. We're living in a day when sin and wickedness doth abound, but thank God we can say that grace shall much more abound. We also read that when the enemy shall come in like a flood, that the Spirit of Almighty God shall raise up a standard against him. And so we're looking to the Lord indeed to do great and mighty things. And I would say to you tonight in this meeting, if you know not the Lord, why not come clump tonight? Why not receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Saviour and get right with God? That dear man said to me 49 years ago, he says, you've made a decision tonight you never regret. And thank God, I never regret it. I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad I have that eternal hope within my soul. I'm glad that one day I'll go to be with the Lord. With the hymn writer said, when the trials and troubles are over, and I'm safe on that beautiful shore, just to be near the dear Lord I adore, will to the ages be glory for me. And I trust that if there's any here tonight and they know not the Lord, that they'll come to me even tonight and indeed be in time. Remember that verse that says, "My spirit shall not always strive with man." And I trust that the Lord indeed would bless these few remarks, and that it may be encouragement and help even to God's people in these dark days. Thank you.
I'd like to thank Jim for that word of testimony, and it's good to hear the story of how God dealt with others, and to know that God deals with people. He deals with us individually and sometimes differently. And it's good to know that Jim came to know the Lord as a Saviour. And the Lord preserved him through the trials of life. And that must have been a dreadful experience. And we're thankful that God spared him and delivered him out of the hands of evil and wicked men. And the Lord has promised that he will guide us and he will guard us and he will direct our steps. And so again, we do thank our brother Jim for coming and giving that word of testimony. As he spoke, my mind went to a verse of Scripture, very simple verse, in Ephesians chapter 2, and it's verse 8. And as we close tonight, just listen to this verse, and as I comment on it, I would trust the Lord will make it a blessing to you. For by grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Salvation is the free gift of God. The Bible is very clear, and there is no mistaking this important truth. The salvation of the soul, as Jim has related to us, is a personal thing. And it's personal for you tonight. It's a matter between you, the individual, and God himself. And I wonder if you have understood that. No pastor, no minister, no priest, no prelate, no pope has the ability to forgive sins, only God himself. And the forgiveness of your sins is a personal thing. It's between you and God, and you must come as a sinner to Christ. We have sinned against him. He is the aggrieved party, and we have grieved him often because of our sin. And only God then can set the grounds of our forgiveness, and only he can forgive us. And so, dear friend, this is a personal matter. Will you make it a personal matter tonight? And come as you are, a sinner, and trust the Lord Jesus. But it is also a very priceless matter. Salvation is a priceless thing. We cannot buy it. It is without money, and it is without price. We could never put such a value of money upon salvation. But the good news is this, that the gospel is already paid for. Paid for by the Lord Jesus Christ. We had a great debt we could never pay. We had a debt of sin, a mountain high, which we could never remove. But the Lord Jesus Christ came, and by his death and by his atoning blood, he has removed our sin. And there's cleansing for you tonight. There's forgiveness for your sins. And the Lord Jesus Christ has paid for them at a very high cost, in his own blood, in his own death, and in giving his life a ransom for us. Salvation is a gift from God. It's a priceless gift. It's by grace that we're saved. And it's not of ourselves. It's the gift of God. That's what this verse says. And the salvation of our soul is also a peaceful matter. Because though we are enemies of God, and though we have sinned and sinned grievously, yet thank God, through the peace that Christ has made on the cross, peace between God the Father and the sinner, that peace is then translated to the sinner. And when we come as sinners to Christ, we receive his peace. All the troublesome heart is gone. All the pain of sin is taken away. And praise God, we have peace. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And if I might say as I close, it is a present matter. It's something we need to think about now, not at some future date, not even tomorrow, because we have no guarantee that we'll see tomorrow. Salvation is a present matter. It's for the here and now. It's for this moment in time. And those of you who are Christians, like our brother Jim, know that this is God's truth. For now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. And today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your heart. And dear friend, come to the one who paid the price in full by dying, agonizing, shedding his blood at Calvary, for there is no other way. We must needs go home, that is, get home to heaven by the way of the cross. There is no other way but this. I shall never get sight of the gates of light if the way of the cross I miss. I tell our people often here, don't miss the cross. Don't miss God's way to heaven, because if you do, you'll miss it forevermore. You'll be a lost sinner forever. You'll be in the caverns of darkness and with the damned forevermore. But tonight, thank God, there's a light on the road. Christ is that light. And as you come to him, he will bring you out of darkness. And you'll no longer walk in it, but you'll follow the light. You'll follow the Lamb. You'll follow him all the way home to heaven and to glory. What an opportunity. What a privilege to be able to come to the Savior now and put your trust in him personally. I pray that the Lord will do that for you.